broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 6th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Man, we've had some hard-hitting talk shows coming your way, baby. Yesterday's recap starts now. Shame, ladies and gentlemen. Utah Senators Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, shame. Yeah, they all back Judge Jackson. This is the woman that can't define woman. How do you call her a woman if she can't define woman? Just wondering. Very strange indeed. My question is, can Senator Romney provide a clear definition of what a woman is? See, if Romney's going to back this whacked-out lady that can't define a woman, how the heck is she going to define constitutional terms? How is she going to keep oath of office? Wow. The Daily Caller, believe it or not, decided to reach out to all 50 Senate Democrats to see if anyone was willing to offer a definition of the word woman. Every single request, silence. Yeah, the Supreme Court nominee, Brown Jackson, she won't define woman either. So none of the 50 state senators that are, Democrat, will define it. Kamala won't define it. The Supreme Court nominee, Jackson, won't define it. Where do we go with that, ladies and gentlemen? We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Abortion, murder, I mean, just crazy agenda going on everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Buttigieg, whatever you call this guy's name, Buttigieg, whatever. He says to Americans, get used to gas crushing prices or price. What is it? Anyway, he's saying, hey, crushing gas prices, ladies and gentlemen, until we achieve clean energy independence, whatever that dishonest narrative means, right? We also talked about the fact that a life without fossil fuels is literally impossible today. Yeah, what can you do without fossil fuels these days? I mean, even your clothes, fossil fuels. I mean, everything you do, fossil fuels. Now, I don't even believe in the term fossil fuel because I don't believe they come from dinosaur bones in the first place. I believe the earth makes oil. The mantle of the earth makes oil. But I digress, except to say this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. This dishonesty in science everywhere. All right, Tesla CEO Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, decided he is going to buy a 9.2% stake in Twitter. What do you think that all means, ladies and gentlemen? Musk purchased roughly 73.5 million shares, making him the largest shareholder in the company. Now, some say it's a takeover by Musk of Twitter, because he believes they're off the rails and denying free speech, but now they've put Musk on the board, which means that he won't be able to really buy more stock. So has he tried to make a calculated decision? Has he been stymied in his efforts? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Elon Musk also hinted that he was going to start his own media company. Is he going to do that in addition to owning that kind of stock in Twitter? Or is he going to parlay Twitter into his media purchase instead of building one? What's going to happen with all that? We'll keep an eye on the ball. Nevertheless, I'm still banned from Twitter. Anyway, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had an incredible guest on. He's a pastor from Oklahoma. And I think you say his name, Daniel Nevejez. He's an Oklahoma pastor. He has a website called ekkok.com. And we had an incredible conversation with him as we did the simulcast of the Sheriff Mack Show on TV and Liberty Roundtable Live. And we talked about all kinds of topics, but chief among them, how the Black Robe Regiment was so critical in the American Revolution and how critical that is today. We talked about the role of the church, the responsibility of pastors in the American Revolution, and our sacred responsibility today, folks. We talked about our duty as citizens. That's an essential partnership in providing solutions, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about sheriffs being part of that, local county governments being part of that. We talked about this goal they have. They call it the Make Oklahoma Free Again vision. And that vision, Make Oklahoma Free Again vision, has to do with a sheriff's training event going on May 7th. That's right, May 7th, just over a month. MakeOklahomaFreeAgain.com to learn more and to get involved with that. We also talked about a virtual event that took place last night with Sheriff Richard Mack and Dr. Sherwood, who's running for governor of Oklahoma. So we'll keep an eye on that ball. Archives of the simulcast of Liberty Roundtable Live and the Sheriff Mack Show. Audio available at LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Video available at Brighteon.tv. Anyway, tremendous hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. That's a recap of yesterday's show. And news the networks refused to use today starts now. Delighted to bring James Edwards on the radio with me. Talk show host in his own right. Author, all-around, delightful American. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, I marvel at how much time has passed since we first began to collaborate together. Well over a decade now. Thankful for it each and every month as we sit here just a week or so shy of Easter as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's great to be back with you, Sam.
Amen to that, sir. There's so much to cover, so little time. Any comment on any of the topics we covered yesterday really quick?
My goodness, I would, you know, as I was listening to your top of the show recap, I actually wanted to talk about just about each and everything you mentioned. You're always covering hard-hitting news that the networks refuse to use, of course, but this one was particularly savory to me. But if we're going to start with that article that you sent me, that you emailed me earlier, perhaps we could start there, and I can bob and weave from that point back into a couple of other things you mentioned.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to talk about. We talked... well, let's just say this. With Lowell Nelson and Scott Bradley on Monday, we talked in detail about this great divide in America. And the divide's getting worse, whether you want to call it red state, blue state divide, whether you want to call it conservative, liberal divide, whether you want to call it, I don't know what divide you want to call it, but the divide in America is happening at an alarming rate, and it's really relating to the states. Okay, so for example, Idaho passes a serious pro-life law. I get that it's got some problems, I understand, but still, they passed a pro-life law. Oregon doubles down and promotes abortion big time. California doubles down and promotes abortion big time. You know, you've heard about the Texas bill going all the way to the Supreme Court. You've heard about the incredible efforts by Tennessee and other states. Well, now Oklahoma governor, guy's name is Governor Kevin Stitt, I think is how you say his name. He has signed three pro-life bills into law. And he says, we want to be the most pro-life state in the country. And I want to be the most pro-life governor, he said. Now think about that, folks. Each state is upping the ante to defend pro-life. But at the same time, Oklahoma decides they're going to be the most pro-life in the country. Well, that used to be Texas, right? Well, now gay governor signs bill making killing the unborn a new right. New law puts state on par with China and North Korea. LiveAction.org and WND.org both reporting the story. The mainstream press, not even in the mix. Who are we talking about, you say? Colorado governor. I think you say his name, Jared Polis. Is that how you say his name? Anyway, he signed a law to go literally pro-death on us. I don't even know how to respond to this stuff. But you're seeing the divide happening at a greater rate than ever before, James.
And it's not just happening at a greater rate than ever before. It's happening over issues that are so far extreme now, it really defies belief. I mean, you have people contemplating, actual governments in this country contemplating abortion well after birth. I mean, I'm talking into the first month of birth. So yesterday's battle where you had partial birth abortion and that degeneracy and that form of murder, well, now that's extended well into the actual out of the womb, out of the hospital even, term of life, where you're well into the first month of a baby's infancy. And this is something that we are, not we necessarily, but that people in leadership positions of this country are debating as we continue to progress away from God and into this culture of death. I've got a lot to say about this. On the flip side, I hear the music. A lot to come on Liberty Roundtable today.
You got it, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards, Sam Bushman, breaking it down just for you. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Liberty Roundtable on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, James Edwards, breaking it down just for you. States are being divided like you would not believe. California, Oregon, Colorado doubling down for pro-death. Idaho, Tennessee, Texas, now Oklahoma doubling down for pro-life. The polarized reality could not be more stark or more in your face, James.
Well, and look what's going on in Florida as well, Sam, this so-called Don't Say Gay bill. I mean, it's hardly that. It's hardly that. It's, of course, an effort by Ron DeSantis, who, while nobody's perfect, certainly in positions of high power, he has been quite good on a number of things over the course of the last, really, half a decade, certainly leading the way on the pushback against the COVID tyranny. And now, I mean, what really was signed in Florida in the last couple of days was this anti-grooming bill where LGBTQ, whatever they're called, teachers, you know, they're now quitting because they can't talk to kindergartners about sex anymore. I mean, in my father's or grandparents' day, if a teacher had been talking to kindergartners about how to have perverse sex in class, I mean, they would have been dealt with harshly and not, you know, and it wouldn't have all been controversial. The controversial thing would have been that it happened at all. But see, this just goes to show, I think, how far this is progress, right? This is how I define progress. Progress is, as we hear, the left is for progress. Well, it's actually the only progress being made is it's making this country progressively worse and godless and immoral and evil. Really, it's truly just evil. But yesterday's battle lines have been moved forward now to the question is whether or not you can teach this perversion to children and harm them for life in public school kindergarten classes. Now, back to abortion. Again, as we were talking about just before the break, now it's not, hey, can you have abortion or, you know, partial birth abortion? It's can you murder a kid in its first month of life? That's where we're at now, okay? Now, the states, as you're mentioning, there is a dividing line with these states. The states have always been, there's always been states that have been quite good on any issue of the day. What happens is you have states that say, we're not going to stand for homosexual marriage. That was a battle, you know, being fought some years ago in the mid-2010s, I guess. And the Supreme Court says, no, that states' rights, you know, with this whole thing where we're a collection of autonomous states that come together as a united country, that's been dead and gone since 1865. You can forget that. Gay marriage is the law of the land. And it's going to happen here, too. It always happens. It'll happen with whatever the latest advancement of the left is, because conservatives, and I've got a quote on exactly why this always happens, it is spot on. You will understand it and what can be done about it. Now, that will be a topic for another discussion, but the states would be fine if they were allowed to act. But what happens is after a suitable amount of time that, for instance, homosexuality is the law of the land, conservatives just move on. They move on to the next defeat. Conservatives basically exist to ratify the advancements of the left. And I fear that that's what's going to happen here. So, yes, you've got these states that you mentioned that are putting forth a pretty vigorous pro-life legislation, but it will be overturned at the federal level eventually. And you say, well, hey, we finally got that Supreme Court that we've been waiting our whole lives for, a majority conservative Supreme Court. Except, you know, hey, they haven't really delivered anything, and even they've delivered some nominal peripheral victory for, well, I say victory, anything other than a total defeat is a victory for conservatives, I guess. And so I guess the ruling on the last abortion measure that went to the Supreme Court wasn't a total defeat, but it wasn't a total win either. They kind of just dragged the line. And that's because, of course, to them, the status and the ability to go to the cocktail parties in D.C. and be a part of the in crowd that is D.C. Nobody wants the media on their backs. I mean, hey, our founding fathers sacrificed blood and bone, but how can we be expected to endure being called names? So I think that these states, even though I'm seeing encouraging things, I don't think it's going to be a win that you can hang your hat on. The one thing I did see that you sent me from the Epoch Times that was interesting is that conservatives or pro-life advocates, I guess I should say, are trying to frame this thing now as, hey, this is more harmful to blacks. And I think if that argument reached the Supreme Court, you might have a chance. Now, this is before Ketanji gets on there. And here again, conservatism at the federal level, Mitt Romney and these people going along with this woman who certainly is not qualified to be on the court. I mean, the fact everybody knows she was only picked because she was a black woman, and that totally flies in the face of, well, really, frankly, the Civil Rights Act as we were understood it to be. But the idea that you would say, hey, this is going to damage blacks more. If you say, I'm against abortion, I am pro-life because it's murder, this is an affront to God, if you say this without invoking one of the privileged minority classes, I don't think you have a leg to stand on. They're not going to go for it. But if you put the pressure on the Supremes by saying, hey, if you do this, you're harming blacks. Well, blacks certainly sit higher on the diversity totem pole than the people who vote conservative, which is, of course, white people. Then maybe, just maybe, if you go with that as your lead argument, you might have a chance. And I think that's what, if you're interested in pro-life, I think that's the way you would have to advance it. Now, I've talked for a while here. I do have the exact answer or the exact explanation as to why conservatives always lose. But by all means, Sam, chime in on this, and perhaps I could wrap it up with that.
All right, let's kind of break this down, ladies and gentlemen. We highlighted Oklahoma and Colorado as kind of the two latest states to jump into the fray with completely polar opposite stances. 10 states, believe it or not, now allow killing babies up to birth in abortions, ladies and gentlemen. And now Joe Biden's $5.8 trillion budget includes enormous global funding of abortion. Okay? James Edwards just talked about citing, quote, racial discrimination. Black leaders target Roe versus Wade. Alex Newman with the incredible piece. Now, Alex Newman is a dear friend, a great, great guy, but it talks about Alabama being really one of the most conservative states in the union. So Oklahoma's vying for it, Alabama vying for it, Texas, Tennessee, a lot of the South vying for it, Mississippi vying for it. You got Idaho so far being kind of one of the leaders of conservatism to some degree. Now, if you ask Ammon Bundy and others, and I would agree with him that, you know what, hey, the Governor Little of Idaho is not even close to conservative, but it's a start. It's the battle's on, folks, and they're citing racial discrimination, these black leaders. Okay, this Alabama lawsuit on behalf of unborn black babies making its way through the state's court, saying that the abortion industry is deliberately targeting black Americans and other minorities. Abortion giant Planned Parenthood acknowledges its roots in the eugenics movement, although it says, hey, it's trying to rectify that legacy. The goal, by the way, of this effort by these black leaders, ladies and gentlemen, is to overturn Roe versus Wade and to restore protections for the unborn. They say that the landmark Supreme Court case decision undermined over 50 years ago. Dozens of prominent black leaders from across the United States are involved in the case, arguing that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry is deliberately targeting African Americans and other minorities. It started, by the way, with Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, these black leaders tell the Epoch Times. Basically, in her writings and her speeches, etc., she spoke to, they then bring in the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, and she openly believed that they need to go against populations that are less desirable. Indeed, in 1939, Sanger launched the infamous, what they call Negro Project. The goal is to promote birth control and other measures in the black community. And then it's just gone off the rails from there. And other evidence, they're pointing to an investigation that was done in 2010 census data showing these abortion clinics are pretty much all positioned in poor neighborhoods, black neighborhoods. Planned Parenthood would claim that their clinics are located where the greatest need is. But other prominent leaders in the case are literally doubling down. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King, called this the civil rights issue of our time. Well, James Edwards has had Alveda King, on his show before several times? Yeah, we'll talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, no racial group in America has ever been more left out. We'll talk about this with James Edwards in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The humanitarian crisis in Ukraine is getting worse. Russia launched more airstrikes today on a city that's already been under siege for weeks. Officials in Mariupol say 160,000 residents are still trapped and have no power, heat, water, or medicine. Ukrainian President Zelensky accuses Russia of war crimes and the United Nations' inability to do anything about it.
The UN Security Council exists, and security in the world doesn't, for anyone. This definitely means that the United Nations is currently unable to carry out functions for which it was created. After what the world saw in Bucha, sanctions against Russia must commensurate with the gravity of the occupiers' war crimes.
The Israeli government lost its majority in the Knesset today when the coalition whip from Prime Minister Bennett's Yemeneh party announced she was joining the opposition. Bennett was clearly shaken up, only hearing about the move in the media. USA Radio News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Special counsel John Durham charges in a new filing Hillary Clinton's campaign, its lawyer, and a tech executive took part in a joint venture to gather and spread misinformation about Donald Trump during the 2016 presidential campaign. Former assistant U.S. attorney Andrew McCarthy on Fox News.
The reason that this may advance the ball for the prosecution in a meaningful way is it's almost like a transcript. It's a written statement by the person who is accused of making a false statement to the FBI, which contains the essence of what the government says the deception is.
This is a huge development and was made in a 48-page motion filed late Monday, arguing for the admission of additional evidence ahead of the Clinton campaign lawyer Michael Sussman's pending trial for allegedly lying to the FBI. Over 25,000 people are expected at the Miami Beach Convention Center today through Saturday for Bitcoin 2022. The event is billed as the world's largest Bitcoin gathering. Hundreds of speakers will discuss the latest crypto trends. USA Radio News.
Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, Planned Parenthood has been complicit in upholding systemic racism, ladies and gentlemen. These are black leaders highlighting this reality. Elvita King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, is one of them. James, you've had her on your program several times, and this just highlights who the real racists are, James.
Well, she's been on, and we agree on you know, the issue of the right to life, even if I certainly didn't agree with her uncle on many things, or at least what her uncle really was compared to what they portrayed him as being. But yes, now on the flip side, though, I mean, some of these arguments are silly, I think. I mean, a man, this is what I mean when I say that a man or a woman or whomever, a person, is responsible for their own actions. Now, you can argue that, hey, you know, Margaret Sanger really believed this or that, and that's why these abortion clinics are in these particular areas. Well, you could put an abortion mill in my backyard, Sam, and I'd never go to it. You know, so that's the thing. Nobody's forcing these people to have abortions, whether they're white, black, red, whatever. I guess men can have abortions now, too. I mean, this is the brave new world we live in, but nobody's forcing anybody to do that. So the buck has to stop with you. I mean, if there was one right next door to me, I would still have three kids. Okay. So there is that. However, I say again that this would give the Supreme Court a way to make a ruling that would be good for the country, good for, of course, people, but that would rather live than be murdered in their mother's womb. and still be able to hang it up on in a way that would preserve their status. And, of course, that's what's most important, is preserving the status in Washington, D.C., not what's doing what's right, but to say, hey, this is damaging the minority community. This is systemic racism. You could say that's why we decided to rule in favor of life. Because if you say I ruled in favor of life because it's murder, as I said a moment ago, it's an affront to God, and so on and so forth, they're just not going to do that. Now, how do we know they're not going to do that? Because they've never done that. This goes back now at least 150 years, if not longer, with regards to the failure of conservatism. If you frame it in a way that's palatable with the prevailing trends and the media and diversity issues, maybe you could get away with delivering a victory. But this is Robert Louis Dabney. If I could say this is a very short, it's a quote. I say short, it's about a paragraph, but Robert Louis Dabney was a Christian theologian. He was a Southern Presbyterian minister and the chaplain to Stonewall Jackson, the great Southern general. And he noticed, even back in its day, that conservatism would always lose the battle against whatever issue it was being presented with. Whatever was the breaking issues of the day, I mean, right now we're talking about, of course, abortion and transgenderism and all of these things, conservatives always found a way to lose. And he nailed it. And he nailed it in the mid-1800s. And what he said then absolutely explains what's going on today and why I believe, Sam, that conservatives are going to lose in the eventually in the don't say gay thing in Florida with abortion, with whatever. And again, the states themselves, if they were allowed to actually govern themselves and make their own decisions, I mean, hey, things would be fine. They would have been fine all the way through. But the states always roll over to some unelected judge who's legislating from the bench or to the Supreme Court. Eventually, whoever says, hey, you can't do that, they say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we can't do that, so let's move on to the next defeat. This is Robert Louis Dabney, though, on conservatism. And the big issue of the day back then was women's suffrage. It may be inferred again that the present movement for women's rights will certainly prevail from the history of its only opponent, conservatism. Conservatism is something that never conserves anything. Its history has been that it demurs to each aggression of the Progressive Party and aims to save its credit by a respectable amount of growling, but always acquiesces at last in the innovation. Now, again, apply this thought process by conservatives. Think Mitt Romney, think Lindsey Graham, and why they always lose. Dabney nailed it. What was the resisted novelty of yesterday is today one of the accepted principles of conservatism, meaning whatever liberals were fighting for yesterday becomes something Republicans champion about 5 or 10 years down the line. He continues.
Now, let me give you an example to make this point. You know, the don't ask, don't tell policy of the gays in the military was a great example of this, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when they promoted don't ask, don't tell? The conservatives rioted and said, how dare you, don't you? And then they got the don't ask, don't tell policy, you know, passed. And then about 5, 10, 15, I don't know how many years later, I'd have to go look it all up. But then the gay and lesbians were like, hey, we're coming out of the closet, man. We're going to be proudly gay. And then the conservatives are like, oh, no, wait a minute. We got to go back to don't ask, don't tell. Because, man, we can't be promoting gays in the military. And now you literally have the log cabin Republicans, and the Republicans are promoting gays in the military as much as anybody else.
Perfect.
Now you can say, well, Sam, wait a minute, Sam, that's not true. There's a lot of Republicans that are against that. You're right, but not enough to move the needle. James?
Sam, that is a perfect verbal illustration. What you're saying is that's a perfect way to explain what's going on. And you're right. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans. In fact, the majority of Republicans are probably against it, but not the ones that are in positions of power to actually do anything about it. And Dabney concludes by writing this to our points being made here. That conservatism is conservative only in affecting to resist the next innovation, which will tomorrow be forced upon its timidity and will be succeeded by some third revolution to be denounced and then adopted in its turn. American conservatism is merely the shadow that follows radicalism as it moves forward towards perdition. This is a theologian in the 1850s, ladies and gentlemen, 1860s. It remains behind it, talking about conservatism, it remains behind it but never retards it and always advances near its leader. Its impotency is not hard to explain. It is worthless because it is conservatism of expediency only and not of sturdy principle. It intends to risk nothing serious for the sake of truth and has no idea of being guilty of the folly of martyrdom. It always, when about to enter a protest, very blatantly informs the wild beast whose path it essays to stop that its bark is worse than its bite and that it only means to save its manners by enacting its decent role of resistance. The only practical purpose which it now serves in American politics is to give enough exercise to radicalism to prevent it from becoming pursy and lazy, from having nothing to whip. No doubt, after a few years, each latest example of progressivism shall have become an accomplished fact. Conservatism will tacitly admit into its creed and thenceforth plume itself upon its wise firmness in opposing with similar weapons the extreme of the next manifestation of progressivism. And when that too shall have been won, it will be heard declaring that the integrity of the American Constitution requires at least the refusal of this to assess. There it will assume with great dignity its final position. So what he said, I think the biggest takeaway there, Sam, is that conservatism exists to keep radicalism from becoming lazy, from having nothing else to whip. And it always accepts the latest innovation of radicalism, as Dabney called it in the 1860s, within a few years. And then it grouses for a short amount of time about the latest manifestation, and then it adopts it. And not only adopts it, Sam, it defends it. As you say, it defends it. Conservatism defends the innovations of the left from 10 years ago. And you just continue to march. If that was true in the 1860s, it's true today. There has to be a total overhaul of this system. Conservatives never, ever, ever win anything.
And the short way to say this is they play good cop, bad cop to destroy liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, they've done it for, I guess, centuries, is the reality that we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest country on the face of the earth is so steeped in moral principles and constitutionality that it's taken them literally several generations to destroy. But they're well on their way, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to call it good cop, bad cop, whether you want to double down in long explanations, or whether you just want to say it's the Hegelian dialectic at work, the communist principle works great. You stake out two positions, neither are really correct. We don't care which road you go down, because eventually, hey, you can meet in the middle and you're just as off the rails as when you started, kind of an idea. We need to return to godly principles. Jettison conservative and liberal terms. Remember, the liberals now are just whacked out baby murderers, right? But yesteryear, the liberals were the founding fathers. The conservatives wanted to stay with King George. See, the liberals wanted to break away. So terms change. But the reality stays the same, ladies and gentlemen. We need godly men and women that stand on sacred principle, the protection of life, liberty, and property, the promotion of God, family, and country. See, these six words really highlight the whole deal. Either you're going to be pure, either you're going to be moral and religious and look to God and follow his laws, his guidance, his truth. Male and female created he them. I could go on, right? But God, family, and country is the key. We're doubling down to where all roads are wrong, except for the one road of constitutionality, of morality, of religiosity, of integrity, of God and family. See, folks, it's amazing what we've allowed to happen. We've got a whole lot more coming up. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org on your radio.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, to circle back on this abortion thing. Planned Parenthood has been complicit in upholding systemic racism. There's no doubt about it. It's provable as all get out. While they've been calling me and James the racists, the real racists have been murdering your young for literally decades, doubling down in a pro-death agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, and using government as their whipping boy to do their bidding, funded by tax dollars, no less. Planned Parenthood doubling down and even admitting they've been involved in the eugenics movement for quite some time. But don't worry, they're going to try to overcome that. They're going to try to get out of that, you know, because they're the good guy. They lie, ladies and gentlemen. But understand the goal of this lawsuit that we mentioned, this Baby Q lawsuit in Alabama, is to overturn Roe versus Wade and restore protections for the unborn that the landmark decision undermined over 50 years ago. So here's the question for James Edwards. You know, we've got this issue of pro-life, pro-death. We've got this issue of, you know what, the straight, God-ordained male and female reality, or the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda. And you got to ask yourself, what do you think is going to happen in this situation with Roe versus Wade? My guess is the Supreme Court's going to basically do what they always do, which is give a little bit of meat to both parties so they can kind of, so they might say, hey, the states can decide for themselves. But what you'll do is just further a greater divide if you do that. What you'll do is just, on one hand, turn something to the states, but yet it'll just get worse. For example, Loudoun County Public Schools in Virginia instructed teachers to eliminate all gender-based practices to align with the district's transgender equity policy. They're literally jettisoning gender entirely in this school district, James. And so all I can tell you is, as we look at this, we just go, no matter what they decide, this divide's only going to get worse. And even though the conservatives aren't really standing up the way I would on God's law and constitutional law, they are trying to stand up. But yet, you know, what's going to happen? The great red-blue divide, the Supreme Court turns it over to the states. The states just get more and more and more polarized. But then how many states, slowly but surely, as Daphne wisely pointed out, over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, will just go the way of the murderers, ladies and gentlemen. What do you say, James? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, past is prologue, Sam. I think we know what's going to happen, and we've been a part of this cycle for, as we were talking about in the previous segment, well over 150 years, perhaps even longer than that. You had a period of relative normalcy and sanity after the War for Independence, and it's just all fallen apart slowly but surely, going back to the war between the states, and ever since then, things have just gotten progressively worse. So I think if we look to history for an answer, and many times you can do that, we will continue to lose. There will be some fits and starts, and some states will push back and give you hope that things may be able to turn around. Like I said, look, I am encouraged by what I saw out of Florida, but I know that in another 10 or 5, 10, 15 years, and it's happening more rapidly now. I don't think it will even take that long. It used to take that long for any of the latest innovations of the left to become codified. But Now it's just happening in a couple of years. I mean, it wasn't 2 years after homosexuality or homosexual marriage was so-called legalized by the Supreme Court that all of the conservative states and governors and representatives who were fighting against it dropped it and just moved on to opposing the next thing, which, again, as Dabney said, they'll ratify in turn a few years afterwards. So I think, well, there's a couple of problems with our, well, there's a lot of problems with our people. One is we're too comfortable. We've talked about this so many times. I mean, as long as there's relative comfort in America and as long as people are still able to bring home the bacon and put food on the table and provide for their families, and as long as their families, and there's not, there are a lot
of
places.
Yeah, let me give you an example. Hey, did you know that, man, they're going to have pineapple crushed. Pineapple and cheese crust. Oh, that was an April Fool's joke, wasn't it? That kind of stuff, James?
Yeah, I, there's a lot of places now where you can't raise your family in safety. But if you can raise your family in relative safety and in relative comfort, people aren't going to push back against even the most heinous of legislations and societal trends. That's just human nature, I guess, or at least it's become human nature. We've become too comfortable, and in times of excess, you get flabby spiritually and with regards to government. That's one of the problems we've got. And another problem, I don't know if this is so much a problem. It wouldn't be a problem if you had a Christ-centered government or a government that was a high trust, that governed over a high trust society. It's good to go along with law and order. Our people are law and order people. But my God, Sam, I mean, hey, the law and order, the law says you can murder your babies. Yeah, well, we're law and order every time. That's us. So it's just, it's by unfurling these things incrementally as they have done for the last several generations, our people just slowly but surely always accept it all because they want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to do anything illegal. I'm not saying that is it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But my God, when you've got a criminally corrupt government and media and they truly are, this isn't conservative hyperbole. They truly do hate you. They do want you to die and they do want your families to suffer. So you've got some problems with regards to pushback. People are too comfortable. People tend to go along with whatever becomes law. So I think that the only solution will be the disintegration of America as we know it. I mean, you're going to have to go your separate way. If the South had won its independence, you would have a Christian nation still on this continent. You do not have that now. I think still with the southern states, along with some of the Midwestern states and another couple of scattered states here and there, if those states were allowed to govern themselves as they were originally intended to do by our Constitution and by our founding fathers and the way that this nation was set up, if you had the states that were allowed to reasonably govern themselves, you would have very good states even still to this day. I mean, Florida would be a nice place to live in terms of at least this moral degeneracy. I mean, you've still got a problem with that comes with multicultural societies. You can't have people with totally different customs and beliefs and cultures and languages and faiths and heroes and all of these things. It's difficult to have a high trust society and a fully functioning society when people are occupying the same living space that have nothing in common. I mean, that's a problem, but that's a problem that's going to have to be dealt with another day. With regards to what we're talking about right now, transgenderism, grooming kids in kindergarten, abortion, the murder of children, issues like that, there are plenty of states today that would do the right thing right now if they had the guts to dig in their heels, and they'll pass these legislations, and there's some great legislation coming out of places, like you said, Sam, like Alabama, like Florida, like other places. We see it time and time and time again. Good stuff, but they get overturned, and they throw up their hands, and then it's law, and then it's done, and it's on to the next defeat. I know I'm sounding a little bit repetitious here, but I think you've got to drive these things home. This has been the movie. We've seen how this movie plays out. The only thing that changes is the issue, but not the result, and continuing to do things like, hey, we're going to get this guy elected governor, or we're going to get, I mean, we had Trump majority so-called conservative Supreme Court, the House and the Senate for the first couple of years of the Trump administration. And look at where we are today. So much worse off now than we were then. It's almost unimaginable with regards to, you know, this transgenderism thing. That wasn't a thing even in Trump's first years, not like it is now.
And
so
now their goal, ladies and gentlemen, this Loudoun County Public School District in Virginia, they're instructing teachers to eliminate all gender-based practices so they can align with the district's transgender equity policy. Think about doing away with all gender. Now they don't say breastfeeding, they say chest feeding. Okay, I mean, these people are absolutely jettisoning science, jettisoning God's laws. Where can this end up? I mean, pretty soon, are we going to blur with the animals too? What? Where are they going with you, think, James? That's where they're going.
Yeah, it's going. It's going that direction. Look, it's satanic. It's satanic. So if it's satanic, anything you can imagine, yes, bestiality will become a thing. Oh no, not that. Well, that's what they were saying with women's suffrage. That's what they were saying with all the way through each radical egalitarian movement. Oh, well, you know, it'll never get that bad. Well, it always gets worse than you can imagine. People couldn't have even imagined, even in our parents' generation, Sam, that it would be where it is today. So, yes, it will get to all of that. But and here's the thing. Is it, do we not like it just because we disagree with that? That's why we call it names. That's why we call it evil. No, it is evil. And what it is, it's an attack against God, number one, because it is satanic in nature. But it is an attack on the family. What is the cornerstone of any society or any civilization? The family. You attack the family, you destroy society, you confuse the people. I mean, that's Satan's plan. And to attack the family in this way, this is all of these initiatives seek to destroy families, where you can't have children, where you can't become a family. Obviously, homosexuals, that, you know, you're not reproducing that way. Transgenderism, it is just an affront to the basic, most basic level of family and society. And if you destroy that, what have you got? You've got a bunch of rapid consumers. There really is this meme that goes around that I support the current thing, and it's got this dummy-looking drone that's just waving the flag of whether it's transgenderism or Ukraine or whatever. I mean, whatever the media's pushing, you've got a certain subset of the population that instantly, you know, begins to cheer that thing. We've got to have right-thinking people, people who understand that the eternal truths are in the Bible.
Yeah, the perverts cheer, and the moral people capitulate. It seems like every time, ladies and gentlemen. Look, man, this conversation is getting way too heavy for me, man. You know what I want to talk about next hour? We'll kick it off. We're going to kick it off talking about the BK Lounge. What do you think, James?
Oh, okay. we'll do it.
Do you know what the BK Lounge is?
That's the Burger King Lounge, and I was there just a couple of days ago. Am I wrong?
We didn't talk about it, man. Here's the deal. They got Burger King Whoppers, and the problem is they're not whopping enough. So now there's a new lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen, claims that Whoppers are deceptive. Yeah, in ads, they appear bigger than they are in real life. It didn't used to be so. It used to be more realistic. But lately, since like 2017, hey, they've been taking photos and making you believe the Whoppers are huge. But when you get one, oh, it's a disappointment, ladies and gentlemen. So now there's a big old lawsuit about this, James.
Do we want to talk about this now? Are we saving it for the next hour? Because I got something to say about that.
You know what? We're going to tease it for now. This is not a joke. This is... I know April's April, but it's not April Fool's. Literally, Burger King Whoppers not whopping enough. Lawsuit claims that Whoppers in ads appear to be bigger in ads than they are in real life, and now they got to sue to stop Burger King from false advertising. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, a Big Mac ain't near as big as it was when you were a kid, neither is it. And we're going to talk about this next hour. Along with Joe Biden, got snubbed by Barry and crew. We'll talk about that, too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. And we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.